It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We'll get back to your phone calls, but first, Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Okay, this is the last Evan and Tiki show where we are doing a show with Tiki Barber in his 40s. Our friend Tiki Barber's
heading away
for a little 50th birthday vacation, little wraparound weekend. We'll see him at some point mid-next
By the way, I want this to be confirmed by you, Sean, Loogie. Tiki doesn't need to know. The gift has been purchased.
Ah, yes. Nice. And please remind me, Evan, of everybody on the show, who's paid you and who hasn't paid you for said gift?
Sean Morash.
Mm-hmm. Can I pay you?
Who hasn't paid?
Well, Tommy doesn't have to pay. I'm going to take care of him. He cries poverty all the time. I don't need to hear it anymore, so I will take care of it.
Just get that another one.
But the gift, I want to admit, came from a listener. They didn't buy it. They suggested it because we asked you point blank.
Great listeners, by the way.
We do.
Wonderful listeners. We asked you point blank, hey, you're turning 50. We got to get you something, and you mentioned booze. So a very creative booze gift is coming your way.
Love it.
Thanks to a random Evan and Tiki listener, and it's on its way, and we can't wait to give it to you as an old man.
It is not a random listener. It is now a friend.
Yes.
That's right.
So now what do you do with a Cinco when Tiki's turning 50? Do we relive the 200-yard games? Do we go through his greatest radio moments?
There were five of them.
Yeah. I mean, could we do all of that? We could. But that would be lazy. Instead, I'm going to go more generalized.
Okay.
Tiki's going to be 50. Evan's in his 40s. Me and Tommy's still in our 30s. I'm going to give you the five best ages to be in life.
That's interesting.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
On Monday, you should do five things you think Tiki's doing.
Oh, that's good, too. That's good, too.
I like that.
Not listening to Heyman and Joel Sherman's podcast.
I hope not.
In Morocco. All right, number five. 75 years old.
75? Why? Because you just don't care?
Tiki, right off the paper. You can say what you want. You can piss off who you want. Honestly, who cares? You're on death watch.
Yeah, isn't that the problem, though? That you're always wondering if the next breath is your last?
But isn't that kind of freeing? Who cares who you piss off at that
point? Aren't you afraid of dying, though?
No. Can't be.
Nah. All right. Nah. You're a mere water droplet rejoining the ocean.
Good way to look at it.
Okay. Do you remember what it was like before you were born?
I do not.
You will not remember what it was like after you're
born. Yeah. But isn't that scary?
No. Huh?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. I mean, now ask me that if somebody's a pillow over my face in the hospital. All right, here we go.
Number four.
50 years old. You're not elderly yet. You still have your good health. You're wiser. Mm-hmm. And honestly, kids old enough, you would think for most people, you're not constantly at birthday parties every weekend.
I was always told. Always told.
Why are you taking shots at me?
You think that's a shot?
I got a 22-year-old. I got an 8-year-old.
Yeah, but they're not three. That's what I meant. I was talking about my kids' ages.
Joe B. always told me 50s was his best decade. Always told me that.
Mm. Really?
The 50s was his best. Ask him. Yeah. Next time you see him.
50s are going to be my best decade. You know why? Because I get to be here with you guys.
I love that. Joe had other reasons. No, it was because he was with me. Which he,
and Joe will tell you that if you ask. Don't worry.
Right. All right.
Number three.
I think 40 years old. You're young enough still where not everything hurts and mature enough to honestly probably be making a little more money in your life and having kids and living that fun part of life.
What age did you say?
40,
yeah. Tommy's right. He just said it into my ear. I think I got it all wrong.
You did.
Joe said 40s was the best.
Yeah, Joe told me once on air, I could even probably find the clip. He goes, bro, if I could be 42 the rest of my life.
You're right.
And he laid out some things, some other things he didn't lay out,
but
I understood what he meant.
What was he doing at 42?
I'll tell you exactly what it was. He was a food salesman for a very long time. He was also, and this is not speaking out of turn, talked about this, did not love his first marriage, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets divorced,
and he's
marries,
traveling. He's like traveling.
And he's a food salesman. He marries the love of his life, Terry, who's wonderful.
Right.
And also gets into this business and starts doing overnights at WFAN, and then, of course, becomes a legend around here, middays and all that.
Influenced a young African-American kid from Southwest Virginia.
Is that you?
That would be me.
That's you. He
influenced
you. That's right.
I did the overnights with him one time.
That's right.
Darren Moodhay.
So I think his life really changed. I mean, between marrying the love of his life and getting into this business, that's the reason. And those are the only reasons.
Oh, okay. Sure they are. All right, here we go.
Number two.
The number two best age to be, I think, is 21. You know, at that point, look, you're in college, you've done the school thing, and do you really have Ron's responsibility at 21?
No.
And then when you could start legally doing a couple things we like doing at 21 years old, I mean, it's a fun age.
I mean,
you can make your mistakes.
I don't want to wish going back to college because it was such a pain in the butt being that young.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun being that young.
Yeah, and it was fun for you, and you cared about school.
Right. No, I mean, I loved school.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Now talk to some of us that cut to go to the diner.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's because I had responsibilities at 21.
Yeah,
it's not like it wasn't. Yeah,
you're a grown up.
You lived a different 21 than
other
people.
No, I get you. That's fair. So that's number two you're at?
Yeah.
Right, let's hear number one.
Number one.
12 to 13 years old.
Come on.
Look, you're not responsible for your money, in essence, right? Yeah. Mommy and daddy give you a couple bucks.
Right.
And you know what I love about 12, 13? Not that I don't love my wife, growing up, all of that stuff. Man, that's, you don't realize you bottle it up, your time with your friends and playing sports and video games before girls get involved and ruin things,
that's a good
responsibilities, sure. jobs, all of that. That's your last time you're old enough to your parents, okay, you're riding your bikes up to the park and stuff.
I'm a baby.
I love that
especially
time.
Especially for Gen Zers who are like, Mom, Dad, I need this.
Yeah.
I don't have the cash. You put it on the credit card.
Exactly.
If I ever said that to my mom, she would have backhanded me.
That's great.
I think looking back on it, you're probably right because at the time, I just know this talking to my 8-year-old, and I'm sure he'll feel this way at 12 or 13. What's frustrating is that they have to listen to us. Mm. We tell them what time to go to bed.
Yeah.
And when you're 12 and 13, you still have that.
But not really. You can go to bed and then not go to bed.
Right.
I guess you're right.
How it was for me. We'd go to bed and I'd be on like Commodore 64.
And we all have good friendships with friends. Think about it.
Playing Farmer's
Daughter. Yeah, how great is that?
All right. Thank you, Sean.
All right.
Here's your Cinco de Five-O list.
Happy birthday,
every day at 5 o'clock.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
When is your official birthday you announced yesterday is April 7th.
7th.
All right. So we got 5 more days of you being 49 years old.
That's correct.
Ozzy in Woodridge. Hello, Ozzy.
Tiki, have a fun and safe birthday getaway, fellow 1975.
Wait, when is your birthday, Oz?
August 25th. I'll be the big 5.
So you're in the smack of summer. What are you going to do? You have a plan?
My birthday stinks because when I was a kid, Yeah, I have a plan, but just don't know where it actually is going to take place. When I was a kid and I hated school, it was back to school.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
My profession was a teacher and meant I had to go back to work.
Always, so, yeah, I hear you. That stinks.
But, yeah, no, there's going to be big festivities. I ain't getting on a big jet plane and going across the pond or anything like that.
No, my wifey does things that make me happy.
That's a beautiful
there
thing.
You go.
It's a beautiful thing.
A good woman. She loves you, and she wants to show her appreciation. So God bless the both of you. Safe trip.
Thank you, Ozzy.
Yeah, I also want to thank you yesterday for explaining the simple difference between a regular bat and a torpedo bat. And I quote Tiki, it's just the tip.
I love how carefully you listen to everything.
Okay, I'm a 3.5-inch guy.
Very nice. Very nice.
But have you wanted, and I listened to this too, you wanted callers to...
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Come up with ideas for Tommy, whose positivity gimmick is so last season, is so played out, and you want to give him suggestions.
I think he may need help because it is the same thing, and usually you got to reinvent yourself like Chris Jericho did all the time with his different gimmicks. So, yeah, if you have an idea, maybe Tommy will like it and take it, and you give him permission to take it, correct, if he likes it?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, go ahead. And, you know, what do you
logo issues work out, the whole nine yards. Last week or thereabouts, it was revealed that there's a Lugauer army. So the Lugauer army should align with the Seven Line army, and instead of this word positivity that's played out, we'll use the word proud, because the Lugauer Army is proud of Tommy. And now we can say that we are proud of the Mets and we have pride in the Mets. And that's what we should go with for this year.
I don't get this at all.
Yeah.
I don't get it. What am I?
Tommy had his uncle call in last week.
I didn't have anybody call. He called in, Ozzie. I didn't text him to call in and mention, you know, 25 of my family members. He called in.
Oh, your uncle called in?
And he didn't
the Lugauer Army.
Boy,
well,
you.
Some guy who said he was his uncle.
I missed it.
He named Aunt Edna, Aunt Sylvia.
Aunt Sheila, not Aunt Edna.
All right. Thank you, Ozzie.
We'll take it under consideration.
There was no idea, though.
By the way.
They didn't help you at all with that.
I listen back to the show sometimes.
Yes.
And because I think sometimes I snap on the air and I don't actually hear things Evan says.
Correct.
I took it as you want to change positive, Tommy. What you meant or what you actually did say was just change the verbiage.
Yeah,
some of the lines were a copy and paste, Sean would call it.
Here's what I would say about positive Tommy. I know you get a lot of crap. I actually want to genuinely defend you. Being a Met fan is not easy. And being a Met fan, even in this new era, the Steve Cohen era, has still not caused us to be like a happy people.
Right.
So most Met fans still kind of have that Will Pond negativity. So I don't mind Tommy. I mind it when you're irrational and you just don't, like, admit the truth.
You mean
like,
you don't mind positive Tommy?
I don't mind positive Tommy. I think, like, the only time I mind you is when, after opening day, I slightly say Acuna made a terrible throw, which is factual, and you're like, it wasn't a terrible throw, it was a great throw. That's like denying reality. But the rest of your positivity gimmick, I think, is awesome. Because I think we as a fan base kind of need that. So, no, I don't want to change positive Tommy. I just think you're saying the same stuff. Like, don't make plans in October doesn't work anymore. You know why? Because most Met fans actually think there's going to be an October. So saying don't make plans, which you already did last year, is kind of like,
right.
It's redundant. So, no, I don't want to change. Now, maybe Sean wants to change positive Tommy. I can't speak for him.
No.
I love positive Tommy. I just think we need new material. That's all.
The one thing I do want to change, if I could step into the manager's office here on Evan and Tiki in the dugout.
yeah, of course.
This is like the third time in 2 weeks. I'm noticing these things. Ozzy is the hitter in the lineup behind Cinco de Fivo. Okay,
you don't like that, by the way.
It's not exactly Soto hitting behind you.
Okay, I won't do that anymore.
Protection. Yeah, that's rough protection. Ozzy comes in with the shtick. I mean, he has a bad at bat like he just had. That's rough for Cinco. Now Cinco stinks.
Hold on, in fairness to Ozzy, Ozzy was on hold for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was my fault.
No. I'm not blaming Ozzy's fault. I'm blaming Evan's shot selection. Evan's the manager. He's picking the lineup.
It's a 1-2-3 inning.
He's put Ozzy behind Cinco three times in the last 2 weeks. He's killed my Cinco.
That is totally fair. But what does that have to do with positive Tommy?
I'm filing my own complaint. No, I don't have the heart to care about positive Tommy right now. Cinco just bombed because of Oz again.
But I don't think Cinco bombed. I thought it was a good Cinco.
But now what does everybody remember? I'm like, oh, was Cinco even good? Look at that terrible call by Oz.
Fair enough.
What's the thing with the tip of the bat?
That's a fair point. All right, I will save you by bringing up something that is very, very important. And I apologize that it's taken me until 5:13 to bring it up. Because this should have been the headline. I debated that the show actually needed to open with what I'm about to say. If you watched last night's Yankees game, you may have noticed something. There was a guy sitting behind home plate. And if you're listening, Schmucky, you call in right now because we need to have a discussion. There was a guy sitting behind home plate of a Yankee Diamondbacks game who was wearing a Mets jersey and a Phillies hat. I have so many issues with everything. I don't know where to start, and I'm not a fashion guy. Number one, let's get the obvious out of the way. It's a Yankee Diamondback game, okay? And I have the opinion, I've made this clear over the last few days and weeks, really my entire life, if you're going to a game of two teams, you can't wear the jersey or hat of a team that's not involved. I think it's incredibly disrespectful, okay? So number one, it's a Yankee Diamondback game. Number two, a Met jersey at a Yankee game. Obvious issues. And then number
what jersey was it?
I don't know because I never saw him turn around. And by the way, I couldn't concentrate on the game because every time they showed the behind the pitcher view, which is basically every pitch, all I could see was Tubby with his Met jersey and his Yankee hat and his stupid face.
You're right. No need to call him Tubby.
I'm sorry. I'm getting emotional. But then we got the third thing. You've already broken the rules of wearing something unrelated to the Yankees and the Diamondbacks.
Yes.
You've already broken the rule by wearing a Met jersey. How on God's green earth could a human being worth anything wear a Met jersey and a Phillies hat? Tiki, jail time.
I mean, possibly, but Sean, do you have an answer to this?
I do.
You have an answer?
Do you know this person?
I don't know this person, but I think I've nailed it.
Well, hold on a second.
This is Ultimate Troll?
Before you have an answer, I want to write down the only acceptable answer.
Okay?
Because I thought about this too. There's only one thing I will accept. I wrote it on a piece of paper. I'm going to show it to Tiki. Don't say it out loud.
I will not.
Okay? And that is the only thing that's acceptable.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Sean?
That is the only... You're right.
I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, this is the most perfect fantasy football loser payoff of all time.
Fair enough. That's
lost
what I wrote.
Bet.
Lost a bet. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Now, he could be a Yankee fan where, like, he lost in the trauma that... Or... This could be doubly. We're going to send you as a Met fan to sit behind home plate, and you're putting on a Philly hat so you look ridiculous.
I mean, the fact that it was right behind home plate.
You were there to be seen.
You were there to be seen.
Did you guys have issues watching the game the way I did?
First thing I noticed.
Okay.
I get done teaching my class last night. I settled down, watched the game, and before I even noticed the batter, I'm like, Met shirt?
I must watch games. Not, I don't look at this... The stands.
Right.
I didn't even notice this.
I understand.
The whole game, I watched it. I did not pay a bit of attention to
well,
it.
Well, the dangerous...
Half a pitch it took me.
The dangerous thing about sports is that unless you're focused on a game, and it's tough because there's so much going on.
Right.
It's easy for things to get past you.
Unless the commentators bring it up.
Right, unless they bring it up. But even then, because I'll give you an example from another game last night that slipped my brain. I didn't even realize it till the next day. So I get home last night, I'm on DVR, and I've got three games I'm watching. I've got the Mets game, the Yankees game, and the Knicks game. Okay? The Knicks game was clearly third on my priority list.
I didn't even turn it on.
Smart decision. By the way, the Sixers barely showed up, except for Quentin
Rodgers. That's why I didn't turn it on, because they're winning the lottery and they know it.
So they better not, I'll tell you. So they very passingly, very quietly mention that Justin Fields is at the game. I didn't even notice it live. I didn't realize it until the next day on social media when I saw the image of Justin Fields throwing the football the way Russell Wilson did. But Breen did mention it on the broadcast, but it was passing, and I wasn't focused on it. So if you're watching the Yankee game, but you're also watching the Met game, and you're not fully paying attention, I can see how it could get past you. But, dude, right away when I saw it, it became like an eyesore. I couldn't look away from it. Are you freaking kidding me? And I hope that you're right, Sean, because that's the only answer.
Right.
Well, you can't be a Met fan wearing a Philly hat, so that's why I assume it's a bet. That's the
tip-off.
Right, because
it makes no sense.
Right. Pete, look, we've gotten used to this town. Yankee fans wearing Yankee stuff in a Citi Field. Met fans wearing Met stuff in a Yankee Stadium. So that, all right, whatever. We saw all the Soto jerseys over there. The idea you put a Philly hat on with the Met shirt, you're not a Met. There's no way you're truly a Met fan doing that on your own.
Yeah.
No way.
I tweeted out this image just a short time ago. Keith McPherson, who's very good at responding to our tweets. I appreciate that. Keith writes, trying to get on TV, check, and be seen online, check. I don't know if I buy that. You think the guy literally said, this will get me attention, Phillies hat, Mets jersey?
That's definitely another avenue. I was thinking, the first thing I thought of was attention. 100%.
Yeah, but what do you do with that attention? Just say, hey, that was me to five people who don't care? Like what attention do you get?
Well, you'd go viral on social media if we talk about it on the radio, and then
he'd go viral on social media?
No, but we talk about it. He could call in, and then all his friends could hear it. So I thought attention, and then Sean brought up the bet. I go, yeah, it's more likely bet, but we brought up who's that dope? The Marlins guy.
Man,
right.
Yeah.
So he was this guy when he first went to a game in Marlins gear, and he became the Marlins man. This guy can become confused on where he lives guy or whatever.
I will say the one thing that this guy did do and did prove, which I'm very thankful for, Evan Roberts has brought this to everybody's attention. I saw this last night, noticed it, did not notice on social media. Above anything else, this guy sitting behind home plate in the Met shirt at Yankee Stadium proved to me, as Evan loses his guts.
Sorry, go ahead.
Is that Yankee fans don't care about the Mets. Because if they did, this would have been a major talk topic all last night on social media.
No,
can you believe this Met fan?
I don't think
we ignored it.
I don't think it's
congrats, Yankee fans.
I think Yankee fans probably had the same confused thought that Evan did, which is, what the heck is this? I don't know. It's like seeing an elephant in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Like, what the hell is this? What is this? This doesn't
stop talking about my swim habits.
I think it's more what Tiki said. The people just didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Like Michael and Bayonne, you're watching the Yankee game last night. Did you notice that at all?
We lost him.
He was going to say, I didn't notice it. So he was just going to prove my point right. How about this opinion? Foreigner. the person is a foreigner going to their first baseball game and said, I will buy baseball stuff.
Why would you? Huh? So would you fly into Philadelphia internationally? Oh, let me get a...
No,
Phillies hat? Let me get a Phillies hat. And then you take the train up to New York City, and the first thing you do, you get out of Penn Station, and it's like, oh, there's a Mets jersey. I like the blue. And then you go to a Yankees game. Let me take the subway up to
you know
Yankee
what it
Stadium.
Is? It's not that.
Let me go buy tickets right behind home plate.
When I went to London last year, which was my first time ever in Europe, I'm going again this year. I can't wait. What do they call the train stations? They've got like a cute name for the trains, like the flats or the undergrounds.
The tubes.
Okay. Right outside the tubes, there were like a bunch of stores, and they would sell like random baseball stuff. Mm. So I would imagine that this guy, if he is a foreigner, maybe he's from England, decides, I'm going to go watch a baseball game this year. I'm going to buy random baseball stuff that I can wear and bring to a game.
Yeah, because if you go to a football game in London, at Tottenham Stadium or wherever, Wembley, wherever they play, it's everything.
Right.
It's all over the place. The outfits that people wear. Because they don't know. They don't know American sports. They know cricket. They know soccer.
I think that makes sense. I think foreigner or lost a bet makes the most sense. We'll come back with your calls at 888-808-1019 and a very interesting factoid to get you set for tonight's Yankee Diamondback game. And before you get back to your calls, before baseball games, I like to look, just out of curiosity, Teak, with how guys do against the opposing pitcher. Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Sometimes you discover something interesting. So I looked up Zach Gallen, who's pitching for the Diamondbacks today, one of the more underrated pitchers in all of baseball. And I was just curious, like, how many Yankees have seen Zach Gallen? What are their numbers against Zach Gallen?
Right.
I was dumbfounded by what I found. The New York Yankees, collectively, in their careers against Zach Gallen, have a batting average of .086 and an OPS of .242. I have never seen anything like that.
What?
They have 81 at-bats in their career against Zach Gallen. Of course, guys spread out on different teams, just when they have faced him. Everybody's got awful numbers. Where do I start? Cody Bellinger is 1-for-20 in his career against Zach Gallen. Jazz Chisholm is 0-for-12 with 5 strikeouts against Zach Gallen.
Not huge sample size.
No, but it adds up to the numbers of 7-for-81. Paul Goldschmidt is 0-for-8 with 4 strikeouts. We call that the Devers. Volpe's 0-for-5. Wells is 0-for-3. Judge is 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. That's a Deversian kind of play. In fact, the only guy who's done anything against Zach Gallen is Trent Grisham, who's 4-for-24 with a home run. So collectively, and I don't know if this means anything tonight. It was more just interesting because I rarely see this whenever I look this up. But basically every Yankee has awful numbers against Zach Gallen. Mm. 086 average and 81 at-bats.
Go destroy him. Hit 5 home runs.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right? Just because you're expecting not that.
Yeah, this is actually a verbal cue for when Sean jumps in and says, go on FanDuel and bet the Yankees to score 9 runs against Zach Gallen. Isn't that what it is?
Yes, or no. There's something about tonight I don't trust. I actually think all the focus on the lineup tonight, I think the focus goes on the mound. Give me back-to-back good starts by Carlos Rodon to start the year, and I'll feel really good about this rotation.
Do you think that's
a bigger deal tonight than this lineup?
No.
Especially losing Gerrit Cole for the year.
I don't think, like, when you're this early in the season and you're 3-1, I don't think much is a big deal. But I understand your point. You're trying to learn more about Carlos Rodon when you need him to step up. It was more, when I brought up that random Marlin player's name 2 days ago and said no one's ever heard of him, you very promptly said now he hits a home run. And you turned out to be right. Like most people in the audience who decided to bet on that won money. So I thought, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I don't have a feel here, that all these horrible numbers against Zach Gallen will lead to the Yankees putting up a crooked number, and you're basically telling me no.
I think also part of this is, Evan, you know, a magician doesn't always reveal his tricks. But we were going to probably get to something in the 6 o'clock hour very briefly that I think is going to be the bet of the day here.
Oh, I have no idea what that is. You have something planned for the 6 o'clock hour? I have no idea.
Well,
when
you do the usual run through what we're looking at tonight
or
whatever,
okay.
I think the play of the day is a hockey bet tonight.
Oh, okay. I was never planning on talking hockey.
You were never going to talk about this big Ranger game tonight?
No.
With Gabe Perreault?
I mean, maybe Pat. Oh, the 19-year-old?
Yeah, he's debuting tonight. How about him to score a goal tonight?
No.
I mean, you said it now. I don't know if we were going to do that at 612, but okay.
I'm doing it. Plus 390.
Is that your bet, you're saying?
That's my bet. We get a little magic for one night at the Garden tonight.
You know why that doesn't work that as well, in my opinion?
He's also getting top 6 minutes tonight.
I don't know much about this Gabe Perreault. I do know he's 19 years old. He's making his debut. Rangers are playing a big game tonight. But you are what we like to call, Loogie knows it, you're kind of a homer. So you suggesting that a Ranger prospect's going to score a goal tonight is just typical Morash. So I don't know if that counts.
It's not the Eric Wagaman magic that we had a couple days ago.
It's not the Eric Wagaman magic. That
plus, the
magic.
The odds aren't as spicy. Plus 390.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Just go to my last tweet from a couple hours ago before you call me a homer.
Okay. Well, we're tweeting during the show.
Are we tweeting during the show?
We've discussed this both on and off the air. That
I think it was during a break for Coke Hour.
Well, it doesn't matter.
A listener, because we're
you could be doing
hockey.
Something productive during the break, either helping me or Evan or Teague instead of tweeting.
I am productive. Okay. A listener asked me.
That would piss off Dobby.
A listener asked me if I thought the Rangers were making the playoffs, and I said they are not. So how could I be a pom-pom waiver? I'm just telling you, for one night, I think the kid's going to score a goal. This is my Wagaman play of the night.
Whoa. What did you say?
I don't think they're making the playoffs.
Because about a week or two ago, after the Rangers beat the Islanders again, and they haven't won a game basically since, you wore a lot of Ranger gear, you haven't worn any since, and you had him in the Eastern Conference Finals.
He's wearing a Ranger shirt right now, Tommy, in fairness.
It's radio, theater of the mind, Evan.
I can't do that.
Nobody's seeing him right now.
I can't let you get away with that.
He's flip-flopped more on the Rangers this year than I can remember. It's quite frank, and we like to hold each other accountable here. He hasn't really given a clear, cohesive thought on this hockey team all season.
I think that what's happened with him in the Rangers is he's a damaged fan. And so he's waddled like a fish because he's so damaged by this hockey team. Like when they were playing well, it's like, here we go, we're amazing. Yep. When they were struggling, he's like, we have to sell everybody off. Now he's confused where the 19-year-old kid's going to score a goal, but the team sucks and they're not going to make the playoffs. Yeah, so I don't know what to expect from you.
All I'm saying is, you want to make money like Austin Wells Homer and or the Wagaman Homer. It's not the Yankees scoring a bunch of runs on Zach Gallen because they could get completely mowed down.
With all due respect, can I ask the baseball czar of WFAN, Tiki Barber?
Please tell me.
Tiki, I just laid out all those crazy numbers about how the Yankee players have struggled against the immortal Zach Gallen.
Immortal.
Do you think that the Yankees buck that trend tonight and score a lot of runs?
I think they're annoyed from yesterday.
Okay.
And they're going to hit 6 home runs.
Excuse me. What?
Yeah.
You think they're going to hit 6 home runs?
6 home runs.
Okay.
And you won't be able to hold me to task until Wednesday.
That's a good point. He's going away for a few days. I don't know if they're going to hit 6 home runs, but yes, the more I looked at those numbers, 8-for-81 or whatever it is in their career.
They're so abysmal. But it almost doesn't even make sense.
Correct. Because like you even said, like some of them are big. Like Cody Bellinger is a big sample size.
Yeah.
But Paul Goldschmidt 0-for-8. Does that really mean anything? Yeah. Aaron Judge 0-for-4 doesn't mean anything. On the Yankee lineup. And we gotta keep you posted on this. This is now going to be, are you ready for this? The 4th consecutive game in which Paul Goldschmidt is the leadoff hitter.
It's permanent.
So if you're keeping track at home right now in terms of who's going to lead off the most for the Yankees, we made a preseason wager on such, friendly wager. Tommy Lugauer went completely out of the box by saying that it would be Paul Goldschmidt, and I mocked him. Paul Goldschmidt is about to take a commanding 4-1 lead in terms of leadoff spot, and you said permanent. It's starting to feel permanent.
Right.
Because it's 4 straight games. He's doing it against righties. And here's the thing about Boone. Boone said the reason he did it with Goldie on Sunday and the reason he did it last night against Burnsie, since I'm going to use his terms, is because they're reverse split kind of guys. Right? Mm-hmm. So he figured I'll go with the righty. Zach Gallen doesn't really have reverse split numbers. It's basically the same righties versus lefties. So I don't even know if I buy the reverse split thing anymore. Boone has basically made Goldie the everyday leadoff hitter, but he doesn't want to announce it, and I have a theory on why. He hates Tommy Lugauer. And while he's going to do what's best for the team, he doesn't want to give Tommy the satisfaction of giving him some kind of victory.
I'll buy that because Aaron Boone, number one, ripped off my gimmick. He's positive Aaron Boone after every game. He always spins it positively.
I think you ripped off his gimmick.
I disagree with that. I think Aaron's...
Let me see if this works. Tommy's going to be positive. Hey, this guy is nice.
And now,
it's nice not having to be negative.
Yeah, and he's listening to our show, and he heard that, and he went, that's a pretty good idea, Tommy. I'm going to do that.
But he won't
out of the box.
But he won't give you the credit by saying, oh, yeah, it's permanent now.
He should after one of these games. You think Tommy Lugauer had it first. Positive Tommy.
You think Goldie's going to take this and run, Teague? I mean, he's doing it every game.
I mean,
As long as he keeps performing, I think he'll. Why would he not?
Nah, I guess.
I kind of miss Austin Wells up there just because it's a cool story. But
Goldie hitless last night, goes hitless tonight. Let's get Wellsy back out there.
You think that's what he does, though?
I don't have a lot of confidence in this Yankee lineup tonight. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah, you're so negative today for some
hold
reason.
Hold on. How is it? It's a 162-game season.
Sean, you know it's going to be negative because of these statistics that Evan just gave you. So why don't you just predict the opposite? If you know it's going to happen, it's like chalk.
Because I don't want to be not truthful to myself and the audience like Tommy Lugauer would be. I'm just
it's too early in the season to make that assertion that the Yankees are going to suck because they suck against the starting pitcher.
It's more gut feeling. It's 162 games in the Yankees right now. I have a lot of confidence in them.
Why don't you put some money on it then?
I get you daring him.
Not me, but you gamble.
Yeah. You're a gambler, Sean. Go crazy, man. All right. Within reason, of course. Be responsible.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tim on Long Island. How are you, Tim? Hello, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, guys? First time, Tim? Calling in.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks for calling, pal. Yeah, no.
Hey, I have a question regarding Dominguez.
Yeah.
So the Yankees have said that they want to push Dominguez since he is their number one prospect, but they pull him out of four straight games in the later innings due to his defense.
Yeah.
So in the past 5 years, they've had atrocious left fielders like Aaron Hicks, Oswaldo Cabrera, even Alex Verdugo. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that that will mess with his mental state?
No. The way I look at this is he needs to prove that he shouldn't be pulled late in games for defense. And if he can play a consistent enough left field, he will eventually prove that. And right now, he's still learning the position. He's going to get reps out there. But I don't think he's earned that right yet. Now, the risk you run into is what happened last night. So Aaron Boone, in the seventh inning of a game in which they're winning 4-2, says, I want to improve the defense. Mm-hmm. Clearly nothing wrong with that. They clearly get better defensively when Grisham enters and you move Cody to left.
Yep.
The problem is what ended up happening.
Take a bat out of the game.
You take his bat
and
out of the game.
Two out of three with a home run yesterday.
Right. He was showing great progress at the plate, and now you've taken him out of the game for defense, and you blew the lead, and then eventually that at-bat may come up. Remember, in the ninth inning, with one out of nobody on, down by three runs, Trent Grisham came up right before Ben Rice hit that home run. So the negative is you're taking his bat out, but I get why he's doing it. You're telling Jason Dominguez, prove you can defend at a high level. When you prove that, we won't take you out for defense. But until then, we have to give ourselves the best chance to win, and we're going to take you out for defense late in the game.
And to be fair, in the very limited sample size, he's been fine in left.
Oh, no, he's been fine.
And so that almost feels like an overmanaging.
I don't think it is.
Really?
Yeah, because Grisham's a lot better defensively.
But we're game five.
You're still giving yourself a best chance to win. You're going to let him play.
He hasn't been a liability.
I know, but I think he's got to prove that for more than a sample size of 35 innings before I say I'm going to let him play defense in a two-run game in the eighth inning.
Did they do that for Volpe at shortstop?
Volpe's a gold glove defensive shortstop.
Not when he was a rookie.
Don't think he was this with Dominguez, where he's trying to prove himself.
Here's what I don't like. It almost feels like we were also lied to about this. Because when the base of this whole thing was going to be like, when Grisham plays, you don't want to switch Dominguez back and forth.
Right.
And who even knows if Bellinger could be that good in left field? They have no problem in late innings having Bellinger be their left fielder.
Yep. You have the argument completely backwards. It wasn't about moving Cody around. It was about moving Dominguez around. They don't want to move him between center and left.
Hold on, but why couldn't you have just done this where Bellinger's your left fielder, Dominguez is your center fielder, and then still take him out for Grisham?
Because you're
innings.
Worse defensively for the first six innings of the game.
I mean, again,
are you missing that?
His natural position is center field. He is better at center field than he is left field.
Yeah, but center field's a more important defensive position, and Cody Bellinger is better in center field than Dominguez is.
I just think that whole chess match is a way over thing that ultimately will be a detriment to Jason Dominguez.
I think you're doing the way over thing. Like, he's becoming a left fielder, and he's going to learn how to play left field. And
what is more
how is he going to learn how to play left field in critical situations if he's not doing it in critical situations?
He's playing it every day for the first six or seven innings.
Okay, but then you get taken out in the seventh inning.
Once you prove that you're reliable enough.
How is he going to prove that?
By the first six or seven innings of every game.
And also, Evan, you just proved my point.
What?
Center field is a much more important position, in your words, right?
Yeah.
So why would you not want to have your own guy who's a center fielder learn how to be your homegrown center fielder, get extreme value, maybe sign him a little early? That's a more expensive position
thinking,
to figure out down
you're
the line.
Thinking way ahead down the line, though. I mean,
well, I think
right
you have
now,
to think about all these things when you have a young player coming up and you're at their stage.
I don't think they ever view Jason Dominguez as Andrew Jones defensively in center field.
Doesn't have to be, but they could view him as the center fielder for the next 15 years on his team.
They clearly don't. They've moved him to left field already.
Which is my argument.
Yeah, I disagree with both you guys. It's okay. It's fine. It's a baseball disagreement.
Yeah. You know what? Go to London or wherever you're going for those 2 weeks. Let me and Tiki handle the baseball in July, all right?
I was going to say just let Tiki handle the baseball in July. Tiki's the baseball guy now. He knows it all, man. Let's go to Peter in Yonkers. What's up, Peter?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Just a quick question, guys. You guys last night, I was watching the game. I was at the Yankee game, sitting in right field, and Josh Naylor, he had this reflective thing on his back. I don't know. Maybe it's a weight loss thing to track his movement. I would hope it's a weight loss thing. any ideas?
Because he's a fat ass. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. And I love the booze they gave him. I just, you know, it was driving me nuts. Every time he played first base, you know, he'd move his left leg, it would blink. It looked like it was on his belt. I'm not sure.
I got to tell you, man, watching the game last night, and obviously he made that brutal defensive play, which you guys loved. I did not notice that at all. Did you guys? Did you guys notice a reflector on Josh Naylor last night?
I did not.
I'm going to keep a close eye on that tonight, but I didn't notice it over the TV.
I did, yeah. And then I realized when they zoomed in a little closer, I did a freeze frame.
Yeah.
It was just the inside of a Baby Ruth wrapper.
So you're fat shaming him.
Yeah.
So you didn't notice anything. You're just fat shaming. I just want to make it clear.
Yes.
Okay. No, I just want to know. I want to know if maybe we all missed something like that.
I saw a belly.
Yankee fans love to hate Josh Naylor, and rightfully so. I mean, he was the origin of the Naylor thing is that he did the baby motion when he hit a home run off Gerrit Cole in the postseason as to imply, I'm your daddy. And then give Gleyber Torres a lot of credit. When the Yankees won that series in game five, he did the baby motion to mock the Guardians and to mark Josh Naylor. But now Naylor's a Diamondback. Isn't it kind of over now?
Yeah.
No. I mean, Trey Young was a Spur,
do we know if he just had a baby that last year?
Josh Naylor?
Yeah.
Are you making a fat joke, too?
No. I'm asking legitimately.
Maybe for the Rock the Baby thing?
Yeah, maybe he did.
But he's been doing it now for too many years.
No.
Maybe he's prolific.
That was not what he was doing. He's not a prolific baby maker. It was that he owned Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's got a few fathers around baseball, one of which is Josh Naylor. The other which is, of course, Rafael Devers.
He's fat!
Which is why I think Devers is struggling. He misses his son. He knows that he's not going to see his son this year. I'm sorry. Zach's in Massapequa. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Tiki, don't kill me here, but it might be too early. We got to get rid of Brett Beatty. I mean, he can't even hit his weight. He stinks.
Well, the problem, Zach, is that he's going to end up being compared, fairly or not, to Acuna. And Acuna is more of a natural pair.
He's just a better player.
And he's a natural pair with McNeil. You know what I mean? So because he's lefty-righty. But Beatty's got an opportunity. He's just not taking advantage of it.
This is tricky.
Yeah,
This is tricky, Zach. It's tricky because, like, when is the moment to say, all right, enough's enough?
Yeah.
It's a great question.
I completely agree. I know I'm overreacting and being so mad about it, and I know I'm overreacting. But at what point do we actually have to see something? Like, when is the mark?
Nah.
And then I have one more thing. Yeah. I have one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Gabe Perreault will score against the Islanders. We're notorious for first goals of careers.
Okay. You ask a great question about Brett Beatty because the man has had 600 plate appearances at the major league level. Now, he's only had 11 so far this season.
Right.
But he earned the everyday opportunity, the first crack at second base based on spring training. But at what point does he lose that to Acuna, who's been better defensively, steal a base.
More clutch.
And he's been better offensively. Right. He's had more quality at-bats. Like, are we ready to do that literally after five or six games? Obviously, Mendy isn't because he went back to Beatty today, but I will say this as someone that argued that Beatty should start right away, my leash is getting very short. Because at some point, you got to play the guy who's the better player.
Right.
And that's not changing anything I said a week ago. He earned the opportunity a week ago. Well, eventually, you blow the opportunity. Eventually, it's, hey, we gave you a shot. Now, 11 bats feels unfair, but when there's someone else on the roster that's outplaying you, much like I thought Beatty outplayed Acuna in spring training, eventually the results matter.
Yeah, but we all know spring training, it's great, but it doesn't matter. It's like being in the minors.
It only matters when you have a competition because that's how you determine who gets that opportunity.
True, but that was before Lindor talked at Acuna.
No, you're right. There's been a clear difference since. So how long would you wait then? You're the rational one in this. Beatty's only had 11 plate appearances. Acuna's been better. I mean, look at yesterday, ripped a double, has had better at-bats. what point do you say, you know what? Sorry, bro. We're going to start to play Acuna more than you. At what point?
I would say 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the season. So two more weeks.
All right, so you're more patient.
I am. Because I mean, when's Jeff McNeil coming back? Because that's really when you...
We don't know the exact...
That's when you have to make the decision.
Yeah.
But once you start inching up on that decision, because that's when it becomes real. Like, what are we doing roster-wise? That's probably when you have to know.
Yeah. It's tough, man, because you want to put out the guy who gives you the best chance to win while also giving someone that fair opportunity. 1 for 11 isn't necessarily enough. Because here's the joke about 1 for 11. If Beatty goes 3 for his next 3,
right,
all of a sudden he's 4 for 14 and he's hitting .286. You know what I mean?
But so let's think about the consequences of if you move either one of those guys down. If you move Beatty down, we know what's going to happen. He's going to rake and he's going to look awesome and he's going to prove that he's a 4A player. If you move Acuna down, he's going to play more because he'll just be an everyday player. He might be bored.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've learned about that.
Like, he might not take it as serious. He might think, I'm a major leaguer, so what the hell am I doing down here? And so you almost, to protect the integrity of Acuna's growth, you might have to just leave him and get rid of Beatty.
So Acuna will benefit from not caring about the minor leagues, is what you're saying.
I mean, basically.
No.
Because you're not going to learn anything about him.
I think the thing that Acuna has over Beatty for when they have to make the McNeil decision is that he's just a more versatile player. He gives you more. He plays better defense. Mm-hmm. He can play multiple positions. He's fast. He can steal a base.
Right.
But I'm talking about in the terms of the right now, I think they still want to see if Brett Beatty could take advantage of his last opportunity. But I'll take this a step further. I've already given you the long-term prediction.
But God,
say the Alcantara being a
if
Met.
If it's the last opportunity, don't you already know?
I think we're starting to really think we know.
Well, just to the point of the last caller.
Yeah.
You just know. Even if you don't know, you feel it.
Yeah, you feel it. I mean, 600 plate appearances is a lot. Beatty will be a Marlin by late July. He'll be, and I'm not saying he's the key to the trade, because it's going to take a hell of a lot more to get Sandy Alcantara, but Brett Beatty will be playing third base for the Miami Marlins come the middle of August, and that's when he'll start to hit. Mm. It'll all start to, there'll be no pressure. He'll be batting third.
Where's he from?
He's from Texas. You know who he grew up with.
You know what that means?
What?
Can't handle the cold.
Is that what you think?
He's going to go down to Miami and rake.
You know who he grew up with, right?
What's his name?
My guy. My guy.
Why am I forgetting?
Put it this way. Brett Beatty was the quarterback, and he was throwing footballs,
right,
too.
To Garrett Wilson.
To Garrett Wilson, yeah. They were like little leaguers together. They played football together. Uh-huh. They're boys.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.